Turn in your Bibles to two places in the Word of God tonight, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and verse number 29, and then find a place in Exodus, the last couple of verses of chapter 13, and then chapter number 14 in the book of Exodus, if you would please. And I don't have anything new to say to you tonight, but I want to preach what God's laid on my heart and do the best with it that I know how. When you're as I don't know the word I'm looking for. When you're as weak in the Scripture as what I am, it's hard to come up with new thoughts and new things. And oughtn't to intermeddle with too many folk given to change anyway. I'll tell you, it's still the same old story that's been told for years. It'll still do the job today. It did the job then, and it'll do the job today. All right? Let's read. We'll read the Scripture in Hebrews 11, verse number 29, if you'll stand with me. And then I'll preach from chapter number 14, 13 and 14, out of the book of Exodus. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Boy, I'll tell you, that is a very short verse of Scripture, but it does carry so much weight and authority and is so enlightening in the area of faith. Let's look to God in prayer and ask His help, and then I'll try to give you the title of the message. And give you the message for this evening. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God that You've given us. Thank Thee, Father, for the good Holy Spirit, the precious Spirit of God that has come to convict and convert sinners and comfort saints and correct us when we're wrong. Thank You tonight, Lord, for Your people that are here. I pray that You'll bless them and reward them for their faithfulness. And then provide liberty. You said where Your Spirit is, there would be liberty. We need that in the house of God tonight. And then I'd ask You again, as always, to unctionize Your servant. And help me to stand in the grace of God and preach Your Word without compromise. And we'll thank You for that. And thank You, Lord, for those sinners that are converted. And for God's people that find strength from these Scriptures. Thank You for the help that You'll give to Your people that they might in these last days face the onslaught of the devil with joy in their heart, realizing that redemption draweth nigh. Help us now in these next few moments to glorify the Lord Jesus, and we'll thank You for it in His name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read the verse again from Hebrews 11 where Brother Paul writing says, by faith, they, that is the nation of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. That scripture contrasts faith from imitation. I want to take that scripture tonight and then out of Exodus chapter 14, if God would be my helper, and preach for a little while on faith versus folly. Faith versus folly. I believe that is exactly what we see in Hebrews 11:29. We see there the faith on the part of Israel who passed safely through the Red Sea. But we see folly on the part of the Egyptians who, trying to imitate Israel, was drowned in the midst. Church, may I say to you tonight on the authority of the Word of God that all attempts by unbelievers to obtain what faith secures for you and I will no doubt end in utter disappointment. And that's what Egypt was endeavoring to do. They were trying to secure for themselves without faith that which faith will secure for the child of God. They were trying to be imitators. I'll tell you, we've got a lot of imitators in the world today. They're trying to live a life of faith, and somewhere down the line, that life will come to utter a disappointment. I'll tell you, God will enable the Christian to pass through certain trials and troubles which will destroy other fellow creatures that endeavor to do that. Are you hearing what I said tonight? God will enable real born-again children of God to pass through certain troubles and trials that will eventually destroy mere unbelievers that try to follow in their footsteps. That's exactly what happened to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Brother, they tried to follow the nation of Israel through the Red Sea. My Bible said that it was by faith that the waters of the Red Sea parted and allowed Israel to cross as it was on dry ground. But the Egyptians, trying to do the same thing, were overthrown in the midst of the sea, and they were all drowned and washed upon the shores of the Red Sea. I want to say to you tonight, friend, that happened because they had no faith. They were living in unbelief, and they tried to follow the people of God through a supernatural outpouring of God, and they were not able to do that. Brother, unbelief will always break down somewhere. You mark it down, it'll always disappoint a man or a woman that's trying to live for God and they have no faith. Brother, faith is a wonderful thing, and not all men possess faith. Amen. It's by grace through faith that we're saved, church. And then the just is going to have to live by that faith. And that faith that picked you up out of Egypt will carry you across the Red Sea and bring you on over into the promised land where you can live for the glory of God. But I tell you, an unbeliever will be overthrown somewhere down the line. They just don't have the faith it takes to see the supernatural work on their heart. That's right. Now, go ahead, brother. That's right, Brother Jerome. I need some help. Amen. Now, listen to me carefully. The Lord's objective in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is a threefold objective. Number one, He is to show the power of faith in God to produce supernatural acts. That is exactly what we see in Hebrews 11:29 about the parting of the Red Sea. Brother, I'll tell you, we're living in a generation, church, who do not believe in the supernatural power and acts of Almighty God. I've heard them say, well, we're not living in the Bible days. Well, I don't know why we ain't. I've got a Bible, so I must be living in the Bible days. I've heard professors and theologians say, well, that said it wasn't really that big of a miracle because Israel wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And the water wasn't but about ankle deep when they went across. I said, hallelujah to God. That's even a greater miracle than before because God drowned Pharaoh and all the Egyptians in 6 inches of water. I said, hallelujah to God. If God can do that, that is a great miracle. Amen. Brother, that's right. Hey, our faith ought to enable us to believe God for some supernatural workings in our lives in 1997 that we're living in. Amen. Somebody said, God can't do it no more. That's unbelief. That's denying the Bible. That's denying the power of God. Why, He hadn't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Brother, I'll tell you, the God that parted the Red Sea for Moses and Israel can part the troubled waters of our soul tonight and can work on our behalf to perform supernatural acts just like God did then. Somebody say, I don't believe that. You infidel. You can get saved tonight if you ought to. Amen. God is trying to show you and I living today that He is still a God of the supernatural. That's why we're not having too many victories. That's right. That's why some of us has got real headaches in our life are not getting the victory over them. We just don't believe God can do it. Oh, He could if He wanted to. I got news for you. He wants to. Amen. He wants to. And so there's the objective to show the power of faith in God to produce supernatural acts. And then number two, the objective is to overcome difficulties which are impossible to mere nature. Everybody look right up here at me now. I'm going to tell you when revival is going to come. Amen. Amen. When God does something that humanity cannot explain away. Somehow I'm sick and tired of every time God does something that us little old mere mortals want to try our best to explain it away as a mere coincidence or potluck or something that just happened. I'm telling you, there are no coincidences with God. There are no accidents with God. Everything He does is on purpose, and He's right on time every time. He does that which He wills and wills that which He does, and God can still do it today. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Buddy, I'm a-praying that we'll see God do something that cannot be explained by mere human nature.
Amen.
See, nature, you can't explain the parting of the Red Sea.
That's right.
I mean, the theologues in the Baptist, well, I just might as well be honest, in the Southern Baptist seminaries have tried their best to tear down the credibility of the Red Sea passage. That's right. And because it's just so supernatural that God just doesn't do things like that. Well, I wonder what that bunch of infidels is going to do with the Jericho that we're going to look at. Huh? I wonder what they do about water coming out of a flint rock. I wonder what they do about quails flying over a cake and feeding multiplied thousands on quail meat. I wonder what they're going to do with a little bit of round, sweet wafers are falling out of heaven feeding the people of God. I wonder what they're going to do about the dead getting up out of the grave. Brother, I've got a hard time believing somebody that cannot believe God can part the waters can really believe that God can raise the dead. Amen. Somebody said, can He? Can He? Already has. And why not do it again? He already raised me spiritually from the dead. I got news for you, honey. He's fixing to do it again someday. Yes! When this old dead carcass is going to get up out of the grave. Hallelujah to God. He's going to do it again. That's right. I'm trusting God to do something that can't be explained away by mere human nature. That's what God's trying to show us in here. Enoch walked with God and was not. Amen. Moses built an ark and defied the flood and let it lift it up off of the waters off of the earth. While all else drowned. I don't care if J. Sidlow Baxter does believe that the flood wasn't universal and it didn't get but 15 cubits deep. Well, the ark wouldn't even have floated if it wasn't any deeper than that. Son, that's right. He better read the Bible. I believe the Bible is clear that you rose plumb up above the tops of the mountains. That's right, the fountain of the deep broke up, son. And God had a little old ark prepared that lifted up off of the water and was refuge all that was on board of it. That's right. Hallelujah to God. I believe in God. I believe in miracles. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. You fighting the devil tonight, battling through a trial, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Trust God for the supernatural. Trust God to do something in your life that the devil can't rob you of and the world can't deny. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Are you sick? Trust God to heal you. Amen. Are you depressed? Trust God to fill you full of joy.
Are you despondent? Thank God to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Are you buried in your womb? Trust God to give you a baby. I'm telling you, trust God to do something mad can't explain.
That's right. Hallelujah. I know that's right. Amen. Well, who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it? Hon, we're struggling and don't seem like we... I mean, I stood here and I've sat in the office and at the home and prayed and wondered how and what in the world is going on. And how are we going to possibly make it financially? And son, Brother Jerome, would you believe I come in here today and looked at the checkbook? And son, we had money in the bank. Got the bills paid. Now I'm going to tell you something that's really mind-staggering. It about blows my mind. Son, we got almost $7,000 in the bank in the savings account. Woo! Talk about God. Amen. Somebody said, what is all that money? You know what it is. It's our building fund and our computer fund, but it's there. Who would have thought it? It's in there. Hallelujah to God. We are sailing on. I don't know about you, but I'm trusting God to do great and mighty things that we know not of. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that you know not of. Amen. Oh, yes. And then his objective was to teach us to endure trials which are too much for flesh and blood to bear up and under. There's things happen, buddy, in the line, Hebrews 11, that flesh and blood could not tolerate. I mean, they couldn't bear up under that load. Read on where we hadn't got to yet. Men sawn asunder. Some of them refused to. They just went ahead and died the martyr's death looking for a better resurrection. Oh, yes, sir. They endured hardships and trials and afflictions. That's right, bless God, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you what it was that caused John and Betty Sam to let their heads roll down off over a hill in a Chinese concentration camp. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was faith, bless your hearts, in a living God that endured a man to stand and watch the communists cut off his wife's head for the glory of God. We don't know anything about trials and afflictions. We can't pay a light bill, Mo. I'm going through a terrible trial. Had a woman call me down here the other day and said, Brother Hall, said, I was told that you help families with benevolent needs. I said, yes, ma'am. Every now and then. She said, I need help getting my power cut on, my electricity. She said, I've been doing all I can do. She said, I've been trying for 2 months and ain't got it done yet. I thought, bless God, I could pick up Pepsi cans and sell them, get enough money in 2 months to turn on my power. I'm going to tell you, hey, we don't know nothing about endurance of trials and hardships. Son, we come down the head cold. This must be a terrible trial of affliction I'm going to do. Ask Steve Benson about Robert Jaffray. Died in a Japanese concentration camp on a cot. Dedicated his life to God. Give it all to God in the South Sea Islands. And right at the beginning of World War II, died in a concentration camp. Laying on a cot for the glory of God. Somebody said, how'd they make it? Faith. Woo! Faith, M-A-I-T-H. Faith! Gave him the endurance to make it. Somebody said, he didn't die with much glory and all, but he ain't got home yet either. That's right. Hallelujah to God. We know nothing about those trials. Now look here. Faith, the objective of faith was to enable these people to do that. Now, and it was faith that enabled them to cross the Red Sea as on dry land. The Egyptians are saying to do that were all drowned. Faith versus folly.
Faith carried Israel across, and it was folly that drowned the Egyptians. Folly to believe that they, through their own power and through their own might, could walk across that sea. That God, by faith, had opened up for His people and His people only. I want to say to you that God parts the way for His and for His and only, and not somebody else. Not the devil's crowd. No, sir. I'm going to show you. I'm telling you, I'm going to enjoy preaching tonight, I believe. I've got to my... What was the difference between faith and folly? What's the difference between a saved man and a lost man? What's the difference between a real faith and an imitator? What's the difference between real and a liar? A phony. A stinking hypocrite. Come on now, don't back up on me. Quit worrying about these little girls in here. Don't worry about preaching and get your mind on God. Quit worrying about what these little girls are doing. We'd go to meeting tonight. That's right. What's the difference? There had to be a difference. I mean, if those Egyptians had had faith, buddy, I'll guarantee you, if they'd have been living by faith, they'd have had faith God to help the water up on two walls, and they'd have went through just like Israel did.
Yes.
No faith to make it.
Amen.
What was the difference? What was the difference? Now, I've preached, I've said every one of these points before. I want to say them right here again tonight. May I say to you that beginning, the very first difference was relied in the promises of God.
Amen.
They depended on the promises of God. That's right. Look in the scripture at Exodus chapter number 14. And verse number 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. What a promise from God. Amen. That Red Sea was based upon that promise and that promise only from the Word of God. Can you imagine them facing that Red Sea? I'm talking about an insurmountable obstacle that it didn't seem possible that they could get over, under, or around, and God given the command to go on forward. I want to say to you today, bless your heart, that's God's command for the church today, is to go on forward. He had never told us to stand still, draw back, quit on God, die on God, settle down, get complacent, get cold, get callous. He said, go on, is what He told us today. That's right. God already gave them a promise when they come out of Egypt. That's right. But when they come to the Red Sea, they need something more. What are we going to do now, God? Go on. Go on. May I say to you that faith must rest on a promise. Let that soak in your little old heart tonight. That faith must rest upon a promise. If God has not spoken to you, you have nothing to act upon. That's where a lot of people's living. God hadn't talked to you. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if God hadn't spoken to you and talked to you and given you a promise to stand on, buddy, I'll tell you, you're hurting. Faith must rest on a promise. That's got to have. That's right. God is the initiator of faith. And faith must rest upon what God says, plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen. God. That's right. God didn't tell him, I might part the waters. He didn't even say, go on, I'm going to open the waters. He said, go. I'm sure Moses might have thought in his heart, Lord, what do you want us to do, swim? Are y'all hearing Brother Hall tonight? I'm telling you, if God tells me to run through that wall over there, it is my place to take off running, and it's God's place to put a doorway there. Amen. And if I don't take off running, I'll never expect to see a door. That's what's wrong with some of y'all. You've never took off running. You've never took off running with God. Amen. That's right. If God tells you to run your head through a wall, stick it through there. It's got to rest on a promise. Let me ask you this. God said anything to you? You got any word? Or are you just trying to act upon the whole Bible as a revealed truth from God? Oh, we got the entire revealed Word of God, and it's all promises. I heard some preacher preaching one time and mentioned every promise in the Bible, how many hundreds of them there were. He said, they're all mine. I said, honey, they might be all yours, but they're not applicable until God makes them applicable. That's that name it and claim it crowd. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know why I packed up from Underwood, Indiana and head to Livermore, Kentucky? I'm going to tell you why. Because on a Wednesday night at Bible Baptist Church in Sellersburg, Indiana, God said it's time for you to leave the house of your fathers and from your kindred and get to a place that I'll show you, and I'll be a blessing to you there. You will be a blessing. I'll be a blessing to you there, and you will be a blessing there. And I'm going to tell you, without further ado, I got my face on the altar and said, God, I'm ready to go anywhere you want me to go. Got up on that altar, told my pastor what God had said, and within 2 weeks, I'm gone. And I knew when the door opened, I was ready to go because I had a promise. That's right. When I left Tucson, Arizona, that's right, the whole time for 2.5 years, God dealt with me about 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings 17, hide thyself, show thyself. Hide yourself, Elijah. Show yourself, Elijah. Go show yourself to Ahab. And God had dealt with me about that chapter, about Elisha going to the brook Cherith and hiding himself by the brook Cherith. I'd read that and prayed over it, But I'm telling you, on that Sunday afternoon, I believe it was Sunday afternoon, when Tom Freeman called me and said, we want you to come here and preach, I fell on my knees, opened her up to 1 Kings chapter number 17, and God said, turn eastward! Amen. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? When I sat down in that office that night and they stand out here voting on me, I said, Miss Hall, what are we going to do if they call me here as pastor? She said, I don't know. I already knew. God already said. Faith. You know what's kept me here almost 10 years? Turn ye eastward. Three words from the Bible. It don't take much, church, if God says it. It don't take a whole lot if God says it. He can say one word. Oh, yes, just one word. That bunch of fishermen was out of fishing one day. And they come in, hadn't caught a thing all night, and the Lord was a teacher. Told old Peter, said, he said, cast out a little in the land. They cast out a little in the land. He taught the Word of God. Told Peter, said, Pat, go on out now into the deep for a drop. Amen. Old Peter said, Master, said, we've called and fished and labored all night and had not caught a thing. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word. Amen. At thy word. You know how many words? You know what they caught that drought of fishes on? Let down thy net. Four words. What's your promise? If you got one, what are you sitting on your butt? Get up and do something for God. Amen. And if you don't say so, get saved by the grace of God and then do something for God. Amen. That's right. Yes. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Faith must rest, and it can rest on a promise. Amen. I've got her dated in one of my Bibles. The July Marathon, 1988. Sitting on Princeton Pike. By the way, we got a telephone call today and Sharon passed out. I thought she was going to. She looked peaky. She punched my little button in there and I picked up my phone. She said, I'd sit in the other office looking at the checkbook. She said, Brother Hall. And I looked through the window. She said, Brother Hall. She said, there's a woman on the line from the FCC. She said, she wants to talk to somebody in charge around here. I said, I'll talk to her. Punched the button. I said, yes, ma'am. Can I help you? And she said, yes, sir. She said, this is Miss So-and-so from the FCC. And we've got a complaint on you people. I said, all right, ma'am. Let me hear your complaint. She said, it's been brought to our attention that your tire light is out down on the 700 block of Princeton Pike. I said, ma'am, you must be talking about the other guy. Because we left Princeton Pike way back yonder in 1989. And we over here at 1415 Island Ford Road. She said, well, who's over there? I just gladly told her. And I ain't heard no more about it. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And hear what I'm telling you. 1989, when I come here, preachers up the yum-yum tree, and I love my pastor, but him included, said, you a fool. You will die. That's a preacher killer. They'll kill you. 6 months is all you got over there, buddy. And you'll tuck your legs and head back to somewhere. You done. I'm telling you, I had a lot of guys. But I'm telling you, July 1988, son, in the July Marathon, Jeremiah chapter number 33, God said, that there'd yet be a voice of joy, and a voice of gladness, and a voice of the bride, and a voice of the bridegroom, in a place where men said she's dead, God said there'd yet be life. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going to tell you what. Hey, when I was sitting down there preparing this today, I said, God, I said, I've been praying about revival. I said, when, it hit me like a ton of brick that I had to have a written promise.
Praise God.
And the Lord said, I said, when am I going to get my written promise? He said, wake up, June bug.
Amen.
He said, I give it to you out of Jeremiah 33 back in 1989.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you, do you well to listen tonight? Because if you save, you're going to need what I'm preaching right there somewhere down the line. I guarantee you, friend, there'll come a day when you'll come up, when you'll find Pharaoh behind you and the Red Sea in front of you, and you're going to need what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Somebody said, how do you know? That the trial of your faith, much more precious than gold and silver, but the precious, though it be tried with fire, may be found under the praise and glory of God at His coming. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're going to have it somewhere down the line.
Yes.
Amen. I've got to move on. We'll be here for 6 weeks. Amen. Promise of God.
Yes.
Faith must rest on a promise of God.
Yes.
Now, don't nobody leave me now. Faith rises. Faith rises on the promises of God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth? You're talking about rises on the promise of God. Verse number 15, the Lord said, wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, and tell them to go forward.
Amen.
Is that what it says there? Is that what it says? Now look here. Notice how their faith has to rise. It has to grow.
Amen.
And it rises on the same promises of God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you get it rises there? When they were down in the land of Egypt, all God told them was get inside the house and put blood on the doorpost. That's all you have to do. I'm telling you, salvation is so simple, men stumble over the top of it. All you got to do is accept the blood. Are y'all hearing me? All they had to do was kill a lamb, get inside the house, put the blood on the doorpost and lintel of the house, go inside, cook the lamb, sit down, and enjoy a good meal.
Amen.
That's all they had to do. There was no danger involved. There was nothing in pursuit of them. They were no danger at all. But when you come to the Red Sea, boys, it took a little bit more faith to step out into the chilly waters of the Red Sea than it did to cook a lamb.
That's right.
Faith rises. Son, God, on the promises of God. God wants us to be strong in faith. In the power of His might. Amen. God wants our faith to stand in the power of Almighty God, not in the arm of the flesh. Now I'm going to tell you what. Amen. And that's right. And God Almighty wants to deliver us time and time again that our faith might grow exceedingly strong in Him, that it might rise to where we can believe Him for the great things as well as the little things and the small things. That's right. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, you've done gone off the deep end. You're a nut. You need to get saved if you believe that. Listen here. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God. You don't have to go back to Calvary. Every time you need your faith to rise, you've already been saved by the grace of God. Let your faith rise on the promises of that book as God by His providence leads you.
Yes.
Son, I'm enjoying preaching. And I think you all's about half dead. I believe Jerry should have shook some of y'all up. I'm going to tell y'all how to get around that if he's bothering you. Draw up a little closer.
Yeah.
Come on up and sit on the platform, children. We'll have a hayloft hoedown tonight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Faith rests in the promises of God. Faith rises on the promises of God. Get this now. Faith reaps from the promises of God. Son, why? And this is my outline. Didn't get out of nobody's book. I sat down this morning in about an hour and a half, son. God done drilled her in my soul. I got up and told Mom, I said, I got work to do down at the church. I'm gone. She said, you ready already? I said, I'm ready.
Amen. Praise.
I got down to church, and I don't know, Sharon was a cleaning, and she started going off. I said, you going to clean my office? She said, yeah, but I won't. You need to go in there and study. I said, I don't need no more study. She said, God are burning, huh? I said, like wildfire. Woo! Y'all hear what I'm saying? It reaps. Faith reaps from the promises of God. There is a nation called Israel that walked through that Red Sea is on dry ground. The Egyptians are saying to do the same, that were drowned. You know where they reaped? When they got over on the other side, they turned around and sang a new song unto the Lamb of God. You hear me well. Do you know when our faith's going to reap? Woo! When we are standing on the other side. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Standing on the other side and looking back, we're going to reap from our faith in the promises of God. Hallelujah. Ain't that right? Now, I've often wondered if God's going to let us look back. I believe that scripture right there proves that He will. I stopped at the cemetery yesterday. Went up to my mom and daddy's, went in and saw my daddy and my mama. Went and saw my mama. We went to the nursing home, saw my daddy. Went down and seen Brenda's grandma. And I'd been in the room and left where she was at talking to her grandma. And we went back. Miss Hall was sitting on the edge of her grandma's bed, and she was sitting in a big easy chair. She's 95. And I walked in, and I said, don't you know me, Mamma? She said, I used to know you. I said, well, I sat down on the bed. I sat up right close to Mrs. Hall, and I noticed Mamma looked over kind of funny at me. I reached over and gave Miss Hall a big kiss on the cheek. Boy, and I seen them eyebrows come down. And I said, don't worry, Mamma, this is my sweetheart. And she said, oh, that's different then. That's the way it ought to be. Yeah. Woo! I said, she's good now, boys. Yeah. That's right. But I left there and went by the cemetery. I went down and seen where my aunt was buried, Aunt Nellie. And I told you all stories about you. I couldn't remember what year she died in. She died in 1980. And I looked at my mom and daddy's tombstone. And I looked at my little sister died there in 1943. And some other folks that I've known all my life that's dead and gone now and buried. And they fouled up. The undertaker fouled up and buried my cousin on my brother's lot. My oldest brother's lot. And we was up there looking around trying to maybe find. It's just about dark. And he said, I could take this lot right over here by the edge of the cemetery right there. I said, I always wanted to be, have my lot under some trees. And said, I could take my lot right over here. But said, Mama, said she don't want me to be over here right on the edge of the... I said, what difference is it going to make? I said, besides that, I said, you'd have a good place here. The sun couldn't shine in your eyes. Amen. That's right. He said, one of these days we're going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. I said, yeah, but I said, that scripture don't say now that we're going to go up in the morning. It's just going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He said, I've often wondered if Jesus might let us come out of the grave and just kind of step around up in the clouds a little bit. He said, after all, said when He went up, His disciples beheld Him as they went up till He was caught out of sight and said He's going to come in like manner. Hallelujah to God. I said, hey, maybe you ought to be over here around the trees. He might let you walk around the tops of the trees a little while and wave goodbye. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith will reap from the promises of God when we stand on the other side and wave goodbye to this old world that's been our enemy all these years. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all ain't left me yet, have you? Amen. Now, there's another difference, not only the promise of God, but there's another thing here that makes a difference in faith or folly. The pillar. There's a pillar. In verses, chapter number 13 and verse 20, the Bible said, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, and to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. That's right. And if you read up in verse, I believe it's verse number 19, 20, 21, along in there, that the pillar even rose up and went and stood between the nation of Israel and the Egyptians, and was a pillar between them that they could not pass from one to the other all night long. Now, I'm going to say some things about that pillar. It's a difference, buddy, between faith and folly, between the real and the phony. Girl, sit down now. Sit down. There's a difference between faith and that pillar makes a real difference between faith and folly. And you mark that down. That's right. Look at verse number 21 and verse number 22 there.
where it said the Lord went before them. May I say to you that that pillar led the way. And everybody look right up here at me. The Lord, in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 and 3, instructed Moses to go and encamp by the Red Sea exactly where he camped. I almost labeled this point the providence of God. Do you think that it shocked God when Pharaoh come out against them there? Oh no. For as many as are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. And God leads through divine and holy providence. God brought them to that place at the Red Sea where He might reveal His power and His glory to them. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm saying just maybe that God brought Doug and Lisa through that little skirmish with the accident to show His power to them. Just maybe that Tammy and Steve are going through that sickness Tammy's got.
That's right.
That God, hey, somebody said, well, I don't believe God done that. Hey, friend. Divine providence. Divine providence led them to the Red Sea. Divine providence brought faith. Do you think God did not know that Pharaoh was coming after him? Sure he did. He already told Moses, in verse number 3 of chapter 14, he already told Moses that Pharaoh's hardened his heart and him and all of his armies coming after you. I already know that. Didn't shock God. Oh no. Let me ask something out. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? They some folks running around like a dog chasing his tail. Let me tell you what happens to people when they go around in circles. They get dizzy.
Amen.
For a lot of Baptists right tonight, they're dizzy, chasing their tail.
Amen.
Instead of following the Holy Ghost of God, that pillar was a fire and cloud was a type of the Holy Ghost. What are you doing? Is it leading you or are you leading yourself? When I, Lord, I don't want to go down there to the Red Sea. That'd be a tough place to get out of in case Pharaoh come. I got news for you. In case he, if he comes, he is a coming.
Amen.
I'm going to say something right there. Not in my message, but you hear me well. Hey, there's an application there, boy. There's an application there for some of you folks that ain't been saved very long. Everybody look right up here at me. They hadn't been saved long. Son, you mark her down. When a new convert comes out of Egypt, the devil's going to be right on your trail, a smoking you every step of the way, and a hounding you every step of the way. But honey, if you ever get across the sea, hey, amen, if you ever make her across the sea, I'm going to tell you something, the Lord will fight for you, and Pharaoh, you'll see no more. You get across the sea, your biggest battle is not with the devil, it's with you.
Right.
Be with your flesh and not with him. Y'all listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. That pillar led them. That pillar lighted them.
Right.
If you look over at verse number 20 in chapter number 14, that light, that pillar of light, pillar of fire came and stood between Israel and between Egyptians.
Right.
And that it was darkness to the Egyptians, but it was light to the people of God.
Amen.
Walk in light. Amen.
Amen.
Walk in light. For if you walk in light, you'll have fellowship one with another. That's right. They were walking in light because they were led by the Spirit of light.
Yeah.
You hear me well? Every child of God that's led by the Spirit of light will always walk in that light.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world.
Yes.
Amen. That's right. That pillar. What a difference.
Yes.
That's a good difference between faith and folly. A walking in light or a walking in darkness. If you walk in darkness, you're going to stumble, blunder, and fall around. If you walk in light, you'll cut a straight course, buddy.
Yes.
Amen. All the way. But I'm going to, hey, look here. Here's the one that blessed my heart. And I hope to God everybody's listening. I hope y'all ain't turned me off. Here's the thought on the pillar that blessed me, and I've never seen it in my life until today when I was preparing this. I said that it led them, it lighted them, but it liberated them. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean liberated them? Verses 19 and 20? Listen to me now. That pillar of fire came right up from in front of the of Israel, went over behind them and stood right between them and the Egyptians. And that pillar of fire separated between the people of God and the Egyptians. If you please, it liberated them. Everybody look right up here at me now. Liberated them from what, Brother Hall? It liberated. What do you think Pharaoh come after them for? I'm going to say he had something more on his mind than work this time. He is mad. You know what he had on his mind? He's going to kill him. You know what that pillar done? That pillar liberated him. Everybody get this now. And son, if you can get a hold of it the way I did, some of you may shout. It liberated them from sin and death. Did you get a hold of that? But here is the... Hey, look here. Can you imagine how close Pharaoh's army was to them? Right on their heels, wasn't it? That the only thing that separated them between... The only thing that separated between them and death. That pillar. And here's the thought I want to make to you. With all the and Pharaoh doing everything he could do to get to where they were. Y'all done got a hold of it now? He couldn't get there. David said, as the Lord liveth, there's not but a step between me and death. But I'm telling you, a step's enough when the grace of God's between you and that step. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Buddy, the devil's right. Every move we make, the devil's right on our heels and nipping. Nipping and biting. Death. Are y'all listening to me? Death. Death is one step from you, buddy. Amen. But I got news for you and the devil.
Amen.
It can't get to me. It can't reach me. If death cannot reach me. Oh, no, I've got a pillar of fire that stands between me and death that gives me protection 24 hours a day. Y'all get a hold of that. Look here. If Pharaoh could have got him, he'd had dominion over him. He was stronger than they was. But sin shall not have dominion over you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen.
That's right. I ain't quite done yet. I'm trying to move along. Not only the difference of the promise of God and the pillar of God, but the peace. Look in verse number 14. Look in verse number 13. Moses said unto the people of Israel, fear not. Unto the people, fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. As for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Can you get a hold of that? Let me just read what I wrote down here. With all the commotion going on around them, yet they had peace within themselves and never lifted one finger in defense. I wrote that. I didn't get that out of the book. With all the commotion around them, peace. 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 Not fighting their own battles, but letting the Lord fight them. Some of y'all still trying to fight the battle for God. You see the commotion. You see how the distress, the onslaught, the pursuit of Satan, and it troubles you and anxiety swell up in your heart and you're afeared, you're afraid, you're full of fear, and you're trying to fight your battle. Stand in God, in the grace of God, and be at peace and let God fight your battle for you. Now everybody listen to me. In Egypt, They made peace with God. It was God that was the killer there.
But when they come to the Red Sea, it wasn't the peace with God. They'd already made that. It was the peace of God. Hear what I'm saying? It wasn't the peace with God. It was the peace of God. They just rested at peace. That's what Moses told them. Just be at peace. You don't have to worry about him. Just be at peace. Are you still fretting? Worried? Full of anxieties and cares? Maybe it's because you don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You need to understand that the devil is going to stay on your trail and he ain't going to give up, but that he cannot reach you. God, help us. Amen. Peace. Peace. And then there's the power of God. Verse number 16. Said that he told him again, but said, lift thou up thy rod. What did I tell you? Stretch your hand out over the sea. What did I tell you all a couple of weeks ago that the power of Moses was? Is in that shepherd's rod. Now look here. I'm not going there because y'all done got distracted. Y'all have let these little girls distract us. And girls, hey, I'm fixing to skin y'all's hide, girls. Hey, I'm fixing to skin your hide. We preaching. That power of that shepherd's rod. Like I said, I'm not going to turn there. But it had the power. He said, put that rod out over the seas, Moses. And watch the waters part. And it was the power of God that parted that waters. But look here. When Moses got on the other side, God said, now, Moses, lift up that rod over the sea and let the waters come again. Now, here's what I wrote down. I want to read it to you. Hallelujah to God. Power to part the waters for their crossing and power to crush the enemy as they pursued after them. Are you here? Do you hear what I said? God's got the power to crush the enemy that's pursuing you tonight if you'll let him do it. I've tried to preach my heart out, bless God, for weeks to some of y'all to give you some victory in your Christian life. Now I've come to the conclusion that some of you don't want it. You don't want it. You won't have it. And I'm going to tell you why you don't want it and why you won't have it. Because you don't have faith to believe God. You're lost and going to hell is what your problem is. That's right. That power, that shepherd's rod opened the water and he turned around and held it over it again and it crushed the enemy behind him. And it'll crush the enemy behind you too. And then the presence of God. What a difference. They got on the other side. They got on the other side and they lived in the presence of God while Pharaoh and his host drowned in the Red Sea. I'll tell you, what a difference. What a difference. What a difference faith makes. Faith versus folly. What do you got tonight, faith or folly? You got the real thing or are you an imitator? You trying to get through on somebody else's coattail or have you got the real thing yourself? What is it, faith or folly? Let's stand together.